This is Tanasia Kinney, real-time news reporter from Atlanta, Georgia, and you're listening to FetLifeStation.com. Sunday to my radio family. Come, now is the time. Now is the time to worship. I am your host, Jillian, and I am so very happy and delighted to be back with you as we worship on the move. You don't have to stop to listen. Thank you for tuning in with your earphones or your earbuds, whether you are at work or school or play, or maybe you are at home relaxing with your family and listening from external speakers. And that is great. It is also great that you can tune in from anywhere in the world, because FetLifeStation.com is international. My listening friends, send the link to someone. Send the FetLifeStation.com link to someone and let them know that now is the time to worship. Well, the question on everybody's mind is, what is going on? Gun violence is plaguing the U.S. more than anywhere in the world. Everyone, just everyone, is on edge, not knowing if they will be the next target. Because nowhere is safe. While walking the streets, we don't know if a random bullet will come flying at us. If we're riding the train, we don't know a random bullet may come at us. Going to church is not safe. Going to school is not safe. Not even our homes are safe. According to the news, the issues are the legality of obtaining a firearm in the U.S. and mental illness. There are lots of opinions and debates over these issues. But the question is, what are we doing as individuals to move forward? I want to especially ask this question to the faith community and my fellow Christians. Do we only look at it as another prophetic sign and say, this is a reminder that Jesus is coming soon, and offer the relatives and friends our thoughts and prayers. It is important that we do that, but is that enough? Well, according to Shannon Craig Straw, in her article, Thoughts and Prayers Are Not Enough, she shares her experience, which is also our experience. The headlines, alerts, tweets appeared on our screen, be it our cell phone, be it our laptop, be it our iPad, our TV, the headlines, the alert comes up again. Another school shooting. Not long after the first alert, we will hear the offerings of thoughts and prayers. And for many people, the offering of thoughts and prayers means little. It's like checking a box, as though the offering of thoughts and prayers absolved from further action or duty. My friends, I want you to know that prayer is important. Yes, we need to pray. But as people of faith, we are called to be in an active relationship with each other and with God. It is a time of prayer, but it is a time of action also. We are a people of active faith. Jesus did not simply call us to believe, but he called us to go into the world. In fact, scripture explicitly reminds us that faith without works isn't much at all. Faith without works is dead. Claiming to have faith can't save anyone, can it? Imagine a brother or a sister who is naked and never has enough to eat. What if one of you said, go in peace, stay warm, have a nice meal? What good is it if you don't actually give them what their body needs? In the same way, faith is dead when it doesn't result in faithful activity. James chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. According to the article, more than 90 people are killed by gun violence every day in the U.S. We must act. People in America are 25 times more likely to be murdered with a gun than people in other developed countries. We must act. Certainly, most certainly, acting includes legislative changes, but it also means teaching children how to relate to one another. It requires a fundamental cultural shift in how we understand our community, how we understand humanity. It requires actively living out our call to love our neighbor as ourselves and to care for the least among us. It's time, my Christian friends, that we live what we preach. After praying, we do pray. We are praying. But after praying for the relatives and the friends, of the victims, what are we going to do after we say amen? Thoughts and prayers are not enough and will never be enough. There's another writer who addressed this problem, Regina Nippert. The title of her article is Too Long Silent. And this is what she says. It is time for the faith community to take a more visible stand on gun control. She is saying that historically, the church has played a vital role in major humanitarian issues like abolition of slavery and enacting civil rights laws. She is saying, let it be clear at the outset that the church must step into the gun control conversation. The church must be relevant as a moral force in today's communities. Now we are all experiencing a profound need. We need to work together to keep our children safe. It is time for direct confrontation on the evil that is engulfing us. We have to address the issue. The issue that we have to confront is this. This is the issue. In America, people use guns to kill people. The most effective way to stop them is to better regulate gun use, including the sale of assault-style rifles like the AR-15. She gave an example of how regulation of gun use can bring positive results. A gunman killed 35 people with an AR-15 in Australia in 1996. Within weeks, Australia banned semi-automatic rifles and shotguns and instituted a strict 28-day waiting period, comprehensive background checks, and a requirement for a justifiable reason, which does not include self-defense, before all gun purchases. Since then, Australia had no mass shooting since enacting the new law. A similar scenario unfolded in Scotland with similar results. Time and again, we see that properly enforced regulations regarding gun use prevent gun deaths. So what should the church do? Here are some recommendations that she gave. The church can debate the issues. We can talk about the pros and the cons and see which outweigh the other and publish our debates. We can find allies. We can look on the internet and we can connect with allies and let our voices be heard. We can have small group, organize ourselves in small group. We can come up with a position statement. One denomination came up with a position statement, and this is how it reads. With public safety and the value of human life in mind, the sale of automatic and semi-automatic assault weapons should be strictly controlled. We can publish our position statement. We can distribute contact information for state legislators and the members of Congress to help others join in the call for change. Our faith should leave us with no choice. My friends, it is time for bravery founded in principled action, faith in action, contributed to freedom from slavery, votes for women, child labor laws. It led to the civil rights movement. It has fought poverty since the 1960s. Yet, it has been too often silent on this major issue, the issue of gun violence. People of faith must be challenged to end their silence on this major issue, the issue of gun violence. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Eternal God and everlasting Father, you are our Creator, you are our Redeemer, and you are our friend. We thank you for life. We thank you for health, food, clothing, and shelter. We also thank you for your protection and your safekeeping as we go out and we come in. Lord, our hearts are broken over the continuous mass shootings, random shootings in the streets and train in the U.S. We are asking that you give us courage to go about our daily chores. We are asking that you continue to protect us and to keep us safe. We can look to no other Lord. Only you we can look to. In a special way, we ask you to bring comfort to the parents and other family members and friends of the victims in recent gun violence throughout the country. They need you now, Lord. They need you now. Comfort their souls. I pray and I ask you, dear Lord, give them strength to survive as they plan these funerals. We ask that you will mend their broken hearts and bring healing. We pray for a change in the gun policies in the U.S. We ask you, O Lord, that you will open the eyes of the legislators and help them to enact laws to restrict easy access to assault rifles and shotguns that are used to kill innocent victims. Lord, move upon their hearts and let wisdom prevail, and let the safety of human lives be the priority in the decision making. We ask you, O Lord, that you will give us the bravery as individuals to step out in faith and to do what we can in our power to push for these changes. Give us the strength, Lord. Give us the courage, Lord. In your name, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. Earlier, we learned from Shannon Craigstraw article that for us to move on, we need a cultural shift in how we understand our community and how we understand humanity. I believe that before we start with the community, we have to start with the family. So Dr. Kahila White will give us some insights as to how we can break generational pattern and generational curse so that we can have a better family which will contribute to a better community. Dr. White is a marriage and family therapist. She is the CEO and founder of Platinum Life Counseling in Florida. We will meditate on the song, Break Every Chain. Then the next voice you will hear is that of Dr. Kahila White.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break
and break every chain.
Break every chain. Come on, say it to me.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
There's an arm. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up, yeah. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Thank you all for having me. I'm excited to speak to you all today about family matters, because if the family's not right, guess what? The community's not right. And if the community's not right, the nation's not right. And if the nation's not right, the world is not right. And until we get it right, then our Savior will return. So I'm excited anytime I get the opportunity to share about my love for Jesus. If I could just indulge me a minute to give homage and glory to my Father above, my best friend, Jesus Christ, who died for all of our sins. Dear Lord, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity today, one more time, to rest in the assurance that you have a purpose and a plan for each one of us. Lord, I ask that you go before me, make all the crooked paths straight. Even now, remove anything that I don't need to say, Lord. Remove anything that gets in the way of your glory. Continue to bless this church, bless every single person online watching, wherever they are, Lord. I ask that you fix what's broken and make it right. Amen. Can I come and deliver a little word? Is that all right? Somebody just type in an amen to let me know that y'all are with me. I am talking about something today that has been resonating in my spirit for some time now. I'm talking about generational patterns and generational curses that some of us have been walking around feeling defeated because we have a chip on our shoulder carried on from our parents, our grandparents. Some of us are dealing with things from our great-grandparents that we need not ought to deal with, because our Father in heaven has already provided a way. He's already cleared the path for a new day for each one of us. I'm excited, and we're going to get right into it, if that's all right. And I don't know how many of y'all love that Tasha Cobb song. It was one of my mother's favorite songs. I love that song. God didn't bless me with the Tasha Cobb voice. It's more like the backup singer that was the alternative to the backup singer. So I can carry a note and I can sort of sing, but I can't sing like Tasha. But that song, Break Every Chain, resonates with my spirit, because some of us are just like this revolving chain wheel on a bike. We're still trying to ride the bike instead of stopping, bending down, and fixing the chain. So today I just want to bring you a little word about breaking every chain. So Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, the Lord is commanding us to choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. That should be live. And the beautiful thing about the Lord's word, the Bible is basic instructions before leaving earth. He's already given us the preset. He's already given us the setup. I don't know how many of y'all love basketball. I'm a huge basketball fan. The Lord is the ultimate coach. The ultimate coach. He's like Phil from the LA Lakers. He's like my favorite coach from the Miami Heat. Miami Heat's my team, always and forever. I worked with the organization when I was a kid. So forever, Miami Heat will be my team. And so the Lord is like a coach in our lives. He's setting you up to make the perfect three-pointer shot. And I don't get excited in basketball season until we get to the championships. I get excited because anything could happen. The number one seeded team could very well lose everything on one shot, but God is gracious. He gives us chance after chance after chance. And today I am appealing to each one of us that we choose life, that we leave the things that don't make sense in our past, in our DNA behind, and go forward and choose life. Where are we going to fit in the grand scheme of things? Are we choosing life? Are we choosing life and all that it has to offer? When a baby is born, there's hope. The baby's birth can be a beautiful thing. It can allow us to resonate with hope, with joy, and then we have death. So which one are we choosing? Are we choosing to carry around the weight on our shoulders of past mistakes, mess-ups that our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents have made? We know that when Adam and Eve, and I blame both of them, I'm not one of those individuals that look to Eve as the downfall of the human race, because had Adam been holding his wife's hand, a lot of times couples will disintegrate what God's purpose for their life were. God gave them a purpose. If they had walked together and been aligned in the purpose, Eve would not have wandered off and been lured by the enemy. But nonetheless, we have consequences of sin based on the choice that was made to eat of the fruit. Sickness, aging, there's some individuals with some bad personality traits, limited cognitive ability. The consequences of sin are grave. So here we have aging, and Eric Erickson, one of my favorite psychologists, talks about the developmental stages in life from preschool all the way back to maturity. We're in the last stages of life. When you hit that 65 mark, you are consumed with pondering about when is it going to end? When does all of this leave me? So we have to be mindful that while God has given us time on earth, it's like this hourglass on my desk. We don't know when our time is running out. So each day and each moment has to count for something. Many of you may recall the movie Benjamin Button. On the topic of aging, I'd like to draw your attention to Hutchinson-Gilford progeria syndrome, better known as progeria. Now, this is an extremely rare form of premature aging wherein the victim begins to age at a rapidly accelerated pace. So you have a child that looks 40. And because of the sins of life, we have DNA sequences. And progeria is literally one letter in the sequence being off. So one person in your family's background made a mistake, killed a man, had an affair, and that impacted the consequences and the decisions of even your own family of origin, how your parents spoke to you because of one missing link. So what is the missing link in your family? What is a generational curse? According to Gonwig, generational curses are curses assigned to an individual based on the sins of his or her parents. The person's parents, not himself, are the cause of curses assigned to him or her. I am living in the sins of my parents. I am also living in the blessing of their legacy. The person's parents, not himself, I want to reiterate, are the cause of curses assigned to him or her. A person gets punished for the wrongs of the parents. Such are called generational curses. There's some things. There may be multiple illnesses. There's suicide. There's the immigration issues may have happened. But then on the flip side of that, what is the legacy your family has offered you? Because while there's been adultery and divorce in my family, while there's been some other unspeakable acts, on the flip side of that, every time we get together, we pray. We don't leave a phone conversation without the power of prayer. We are high achievers. We seem to collect educational degrees. We celebrate for every single thing. So those are the legacy marks. And so why I want to propose to each one of us, while there are generational curses in all of our families' backgrounds, there's also the legacy of the blessings. The important thing is to focus on the blessing, because you could become beset with sadness, grief, depression, anxiety. Oh my gosh, I was a teen mother. Does that mean my child's going to be a teen mother? Pray without ceasing and leave it to God. And there are things that we'll talk about in a minute about how we can interrupt the patterns. So what are categorical patterns of strongholds that may become prevalent in your family? How are kids being impacted by the words that we say? Is dinner time gossip time? Here's what we know. Abusive fathers pave the dangerous pattern for sons. If I saw dad beating up mom, beating up sister, there's a stronger likelihood that I may do the same thing because this has been normalized in my house. Dad abandoned family and now daughter has commitment issues. We have to admit to ourselves, how have we hindered our child's psychosocial growth with the choices that we've made? I'm a child of divorce. I didn't just want premarital counseling. I said to my husband, I said, listen, let's get into some pre-engagement counseling, because I want to make sure that whatever residual issues that I have, daddy issues, that I don't ever take it out on you. And when the devil's rearing his head like a tornado, I can push that down, because now I've developed tools through counseling to get me through. Individuals that have been sexually abused as a child, and now they're porn addicts because sex has become commonplace. There's no value to it. The consecrational act of a husband and wife has been tainted because there has been abuse. There's been trauma. Grandparents that were controlling and say, I don't want you to move from this place to this place. You need to live in the same circumference. Well, guess what? They created children who are now parents that meddle. My mother-in-law always says something, and this is a key tip for in-law issues. In-laws, and I'm saying this with a smile, I love my in-laws, they're bonus parents, so I'm not talking about myself, but in-laws that find themselves concerned about every single happening, don't meddle, be a modeler of what a good marriage looks like. Don't meddle, model positive behavior. Galatians 3 verses 13 reminds us, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. But this picture reminds me, Jesus hung on the tree. Jesus hung on the tree. Therefore, the curses of my parents, the curses of my own, have already been forgiven and washed away with the blood of Jesus. I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus. He's already paid the price for my sins. Okay, let's talk about generational patterns in the good book. Let's talk about some families that went astray. Let's talk about David. Oh, King David. Let's talk about how he battled with lust and how his son Solomon had 700 wives. David never punishes his son for raping his daughter Tamar. Some of us don't spare the rod and spoil, and we're spoiling the child because we have spared the rod. And as a therapist, I'm not telling you to spank your kids either way. I'm saying that certain things that worked back home, now that we've come to America and put away those things, we are seeing a degenerative breakdown in our homes and in society and what we expect from children. Because we're doing methods that kids are laughing at. You can't put a 10-year-old in timeout. Somebody came to my office the other day talking about, Dr. White, I need your assistance. I said, sure. Listen, my child's not listening anymore. I said, okay, what have you done? Because I always look at what you've done before so we can talk about what has worked. Well, I put them in timeout and they started laughing. And I told them they had to stay there until they stopped laughing. I said, I'd laugh too. At 10, the lesson wasn't learned. This is a joke. The biggest thing parents can be, and now y'all get a little parenting because I'm a therapist, and yes, I came to give a word, but I just got to drop in practical knowledge. Kids respond to consequences, things being taken away. Kids respond to, if you say you're going to do something, keep to your word. They will keep you accountable. Now, the parents that talk about when your father gets home, well, why couldn't you deal with it? Why you got to wait till daddy comes home? Because there will be less respect for you as a parent. And it may be flipped. Wait till your mother gets home. Let me not hit the men or hit the women. I'm an equal opportunist. So it may be wait till your mother gets home because mom is the discipline. Guess what? They won't respect you either. So that means when they're dealing with hard situations, they're going to that parent first. The relationship and the respect and the accountability and transparency were formed with that parent. But back to David. So there was no accountability in this household. We could do whatever we want to do. We could run and wild, reckless behavior. What I call, I'm going to say it, and none of y'all can do anything about it. Lazy parenting. Y'all do what you want to do. I'll check back in with you when I get home from work. Y'all are in virtual school. Good luck with that. I don't need to check your work. I'm not your teacher. I don't have a degree in that subject. Even sit and pretend to be looking. If you don't even know how to read, look and learn. But you have to be accountable. You get one shot at raising children. One. After that, God will ask you the question. You're not going to ask the pastor. You're not going to ask the elders, what happened to your flock? I gave them to you. Some of us are praying for children. I'm being completely transparent. And so when we look at y'all side-eyed saying, why aren't you entrusting with the miracle of life that God has blessed you all with? So lazy parenting, and David is an example of this. Absalom, another son, ends up killing his brother. Foolishness. But it's based on generational patterns. If it doesn't get interrupted, if it's not corrected, guess what? It will continue the cycle. Jonathan McReynolds has a song called Cycles. Some of us need to take people out of our lives. We'll talk about toxic people. We'll talk about toxic family members. You may have to interrupt that cycle and let them know, guess what? We can't be aligned because we're not on the same purpose and path. Rebecca showing favoritism with Jacob. And then Jacob, remember Jacob and Esau? And Rebecca's saying, come here, let me tell you how you gonna basically lie to your father. This is a wife that pitted herself against her husband. So in counseling, we have what we call the executive system. The parents are at the top. The children are at the bottom. If the parents are not united, what's gonna happen? The house will fall down. You have no roof. The executive system is like the roof. It's basically like managing a house with no roof. It's going to rain. There's going to be snowstorms. But this is what happens in the household of Isaac and Rebecca. There's a breakdown with parents being on the same page. I like this one. This one's more like me. This one favors me. This one looks cuter. This one is brighter and lighter. This one is more academically inclined. Favoritism can take on any signs and characteristics. And then we have Jacob showing partiality by favoring Joseph over the remaining 11. That's like you have 11 children. I'm going to put it in today's context because every child knows what Burlington Factory is, where you go to buy a cute coat. This man bought this child, in my mind, it was like a Sherlin Mink. And it was like from Dapper Dan in Harlem. And it was created with all the emblems of the day. So you had Gucci on the side, you had Louis Vuitton, you had Hermes on the back, and it was just fabulous. But this man bought this. Everybody else got like a hand-me-down or something from Old Navy. This man had a custom coat. That's favoritism. Then we have Hannah. So we spoke about lazy parents. I want to talk about parents that God exalted and blessed. We had Hannah. Hannah disciplined herself and sought the Lord for a child. She cried out to God. What happened? Her son Samuel became a great prophet. Some of you aren't praying for your children. You're not. You run to the church and ask for prayers when something happens, when the child has left the church, when you're like, Lord, where was the church when the child was 7 and 8? Because the child's 22 now, and I'm not saying we should not pray for those that have left the church. Of course not. But we need to start praying as soon as they become born. When they are dedicated back to the Lord, guess what? I blame all of us. We are a tribe. If a child goes missing, it's all of us. Every single one of us is church people. So we really need to just pray each other up. Who knows that your child is showing outward signs of poor behavior? Because as therapists, a child doesn't just become, quote unquote, exhibit negative behaviors at 15, 16. That's when people decide to come to me as a therapist. What happened when that child was 4 years old and threw his blocks at the teacher? That wasn't a sign. What happened when the child yelled at grandma, almost pushed her down the stairs? That wasn't a sign. What happened when the child cursed at you at 10, 11? That wasn't a sign. Pay attention. No child is perfect. If there's stuff that needs to be fixed, get into some family counseling early so that later on these don't become residual cycles. Then we have Mordecai. I want to shout out to the aunts and the uncles and all of the praying church mothers and church fathers that aren't traditional mothers and fathers that may not have given birth to children, but they are church mothers and fathers. Mordecai raised Esther to love her people and God. Look what happened. She never forgot her values, even as a queen in a Gentile land. Train up a child, y'all know this, in the way that he shall go. And when he is old, he shall not depart. There are certain precepts that my parents taught me when I was a child. You couldn't run in church. You had to address every adult. If they were older than you, they were auntie and uncle, they were sis and brother, I don't call adults by their first name. What up, Clarence? No. Some of us are losing the values in which we were taught. So then we have Zechariah. This is the priest that raised his son along with his wife Elizabeth with much prayer. Who was the son? John the Baptist was the voice in the wilderness. Who did he baptize? He only baptized the King of Kings. He only baptized, it wasn't just his cousin, it was his maker. Now, I love my cousins. Shout out to some of my cousins that are watching. One of my cousins, we're so close, we call each other cousins. We're sister cousins. And so I can't imagine how John the Baptist felt. Cuz, are you that? Listen, come down here. Listen, John, it's okay. It's okay. You're going to have some rough times, but God will be with you. There's a reward on the other side. Today, I just need you to baptize because I just need you to baptize and continue to preach. Continue to be the voice in the wilderness. Some of us need to know that we're necessary to be a point of inspiration for the other people in our families. Yes, it gets hard getting the phone calls. Yes, it gets hard being the one to bail people out, but bail them out in love, bail them out in prayer, and bail them out because if you, then who? We have to recognize that God has a purpose and a plan, and each one of us are our brother's keepers. Each one of us are responsible. So when I see somebody slipping off the slope, and it's my family, it's my blood, I'm not going to call and be like, man, you heard what happened to so-and-so? They got arrested again? No. What do you need from me? Cuz, can I pray with you? Can I introduce you to a man who will always understand? How many of us are willing to put aside, they stole money from me, that's why I don't rock with them anymore. Some of us, it's true. We have family members that have stolen from us. It is what it is. Are we willing to forgive? Because I'm making it to the kingdom, y'all. I don't know about you, but I have to see glory. There are too many people I have to meet. I got to meet my great-grandmother. I got to meet my mom, who was the joy of my heart, my best friend. There are too many people. So what is blocking the entrance to the kingdom? Is it because you have unforgiveness in your heart towards a family member that has wronged you? Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. So what are the faith practices that we must employ? Praying, family worship, eating together, parents providing moral instruction. Be like this family. Let the child be so excited they know the Bible is a sacred artifact. It has all the precepts and the tips to encourage us. How to break free from generational patterns. I'm going to give you 5 points. I'm going to sit down. One. Recognize destructive behavior. That's the first thing. The Lord is very clear with his precepts. Psalms 51 verse 10 reminds us, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Two, be a student of God's word. Be prepared to face the devil because he gonna come after you. If the devil has not come after you, that means that you're working with him. You're on his side. So when people say, man, I've never had trouble, I want to run as far away from that person as possible. If you ain't never had trouble, that means you don't know Jesus. So be a student of God's word. So when the devil comes, you can hold up the blood-stained banner of Christ and throw some verses in the devil's face. Step up and pray. I'm not ashamed. I'll pray for anything. I'll pray for a parking spot to be opened up at the mall, because the Bible says, pray without ceasing, pray at all times. I pray for me to get the right produce, for the watermelon not to be, I'm in Florida, so the tropical fruits, we get them straight from the Caribbean. And sometimes it's overripe. I'm praying for even the produce that comes to my house, because I Instacart. I don't trust the grocery stores right now. God bless those of y'all still going. But I'm praying for every aspect in my life. So step up and pray. Face the truth about your family issues. If you don't face the truth about your family issues, and you smile and say, hey, cuz, what's up? You know he got a gun. You know he got that woman pregnant. You know he touching such and such child. Face the truth. Pray about it. Pray about it. And if somebody has wronged you, use the Matthew 18 approach. And lastly, seek counsel. Seek counsel, maybe from your pastor, it may be from an elder, it may be from a mental health practitioner, but seek some counsel and some godly advice and pray for the spirit of discernment, because not everybody can give me advice. If you're not walking with God, I don't know if you can walk with me when I'm trying to hear from God. So pray for spiritual discernment when you're seeking counsel. Salvation breaks the chains. That's it. Salvation breaks the chain. What's going to break the generational curse? When you draw closer to Jesus and say, Lord, push out the old stuff and put in the legacy stuff. What is your legacy? What are you leaving to future generationals? What patterns do you need to break in your own family? Start today. If y'all have a gossiping problem, stop it. Say, can we pray? If y'all have a lying problem, stop it. Can we speak truth? If y'all have a hateration problem, every time somebody succeeds, every time they get a new job or put up that they got a new car on Facebook, we're jealous and we're talking about it. Ask God to bless your household. Pray the prayer of Jabez. Enlarge in my territory. Let me not be a burden and cause harm to others. Let others not cause harm to me. Salvation, salvation, salvation. Some of y'all just need to cry out, Jesus. Some of y'all need to be like my mama and wake people up at 2 a.m. Just to have a prayer fest. Just to pray over your child. When's the last time you've prayed and you've covered their life? My life is covered. The blessings of my mom and her life are still passing on to my brother and I. Because she prayed for us. She prayed without ceasing. She would call up the school sometimes and say, I need to speak to my child. I would go to the office thinking I was in trouble. No, it was my mother with a word. Spirit's telling me you don't need to take the bus today. I'm coming to get you. Listen to the voice of reason. And guess what? The bus got into an accident. Listen to the voice that's telling you I need to pray at this moment for my child. If not you, then who? Salvation breaks the chain. Does your child know Jesus? Has your child accepted Jesus? Are they at the age where they know right from wrong, but you're saying they're too young? I got to get an evangelistic word in right now. They're too young to go into the watery graves of baptism. So many times as a pastor's wife, we hear about these things and young people anxious to get into the watery pool of baptism, but the parents are saying they're too young. And then by the time they're 15, they don't want anything to do with church. So if your child's saying, I need Jesus, it's better they need Jesus than they need a gun or a gang. Point them to Jesus. Salvation breaks the chain. Interrupt the cycle. Say, devil, not today, not my family, not my child. We need Jesus as a church. Jesus will break the chain. Jesus is the salvation. Jesus is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus will fix it. Jesus. And I'm going to leave y'all with this. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 15. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. I don't go to clubs anymore. All things have passed away. I can't wear the things I used to anymore. I don't want to look like a streetwalker. I'm just leaving the club. Behold, new things have come. It is time to put away the things from the old and step into the light of the new. Put away the things that are barring you down. Put away the things that are leading to more generational patterns, cycling over and over. It's what we listen to. It's what we read. It's what we watch on TV. Be a child of God. Be a strong family member. Be a strong mother and father. Be an amazing son and daughter. If your parents are doing wrong, call them out on it. Is this the way? I want to be like Jesus. What about you? I need to get to glory. What about you? God bless all of you.
To break every chain, break every chain.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Dr. White, for this informative message and the words of admonition. My friends, let us take some time to examine our lives and ask God to help us break the chain of any generational curse. By God's power, we can overcome. We have to work together to make our community a better place. And we have to be advocate for each other. A special thank you to my listening friends. It's a pleasure, always a pleasure, to worship with you here at FetLifeStation.com every Sunday at 11 a.m. Remember to invite a friend to tune in. Send the FetLifeStation.com link to someone and ask them to tune in with you. Remind them that they don't have to stop to listen. They only need a pair of earphones or a pair of earbuds, because this is worship on the move. If you want to contact us, you may go to the Worship on the Move Facebook page and contact us by messenger or by the email in the chat, BeulahBrigades@gmail.com. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Have a great week.
Have a happy Sunday, everyone. And remember that if you want to listen to this podcast again or any other previous podcast, you can access these podcasts by a simple Google search. Search for Worship on the Move. You can also find them on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Podcasts. Subscribe and share any of those links. There may be someone, just someone, who may need that message in the spoken word and songs to reset their lives.
This is Tanasia Kinney, real-time news reporter from Atlanta, Georgia. And you're listening to FetLifeStation.com.
Was so once again, we come into your presence with expectancy in our hearts. God, we know you're going to bless us. So we lift our hands in the sanctuary and we give you glory and honor.